Hey, everybody. Yes, welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Brockman. As always, I'm joined by one of the best AdWords managers on the planet, and thank goodness he left his prior profession as a personal trainer. His business card said, "Stop blaming, just start personal training." And then it had a little with Chris in italics. So a former personal trainer, has been doing AdWords for over a decade, I think. And he's one of the best AdWords managers I know. My partner, Chris Schaefer. Chris, how's it going today?
Jason, I appreciate you going through the history of my professions. Let's see, I've been a professional wrestler, personal trainer. Can't remember anymore, but yeah, it's pretty amazing.
There's a YouTube clip out there. I don't know, like I've seen it. And I got messages from just a couple people who've actually found it. It's real hard to find because the title's all weird, but former news anchor.
That's right. That's the other one. Yeah. That was real brief.
Well, it was real brief because of what you said in this clip.
Yeah.
But the hair, I don't want to not do it justice, so I won't even describe it, but let's just say it was entirely different.
Yeah.
And highly stylized. Chris, yeah. You are looking great. What does that G stand for on that shirt? And where can I get one of those?
Yeah, Jason, in order to achieve this special, special shirt I have on, send your money to Google and they send you one. It has literally nothing to do with qualifications. But okay. Yeah, it's just money. Just like the banner behind me, you just buy it. You know, you got to know the special place to go. That's the difference. If you don't have access.
I have been spending all my money on personal training now that we brought that up. Mm-hmm. Good, healthy food.
Yes.
And I am down to 474 pounds from 483.
That's amazing.
Thank you. Hey, all I'm doing is day by day. What else can you do, Chris?
Do you have one butt cheek and like one chair? Do you just share like, you know, one butt cheek and one chair and one butt? So you have like two chairs below you?
No, I mean, honestly, I'm using a regular office chair. It was, you know, has supports, but it's a regular office chair. It's a tight fit when I get in. I don't get in and out much during the day. I just kind of sit in and then maybe get out a few hours later once or twice during the day. It's a tight fit, but honestly, I wear it well. I wear weight mm-hmm. better than anybody I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So that's why a lot of people were surprised. But 474, we're going to hit that 450.
Like 61, 61 waist or something now? What is it?
It was a 62.
Yeah.
And on the belt loop I have, we were at three loops. Now we're at two loops. So yeah. Still a size 62, but two loops. So.
Still 62. Wow, it's okay. Yeah. Well, it's just off camera. I'm sure you look great. Yeah, it's just.
Well, I wear well, but and remember the dimensions of the pants are pretty funny. This guy was making fun of me. 62, 32. And when I went to Target to buy pants, they did not have that size in stock.
Yeah.
Wanted to file a complaint, but.
Literally wider than you are tall. That's amazing. Well, yep. I'm glad you're here and fired up and angry.
I made a lot of mistakes to get to that point, 474. The peak was 483. I'm going to right the ship and get back down. But today, speaking of the word mistake, Chris, we are talking about the worst mistakes we see people make in Google AdWords. And I just want to talk about for a second, Chris, what prompted this episode. A lot of people may be thinking that's mean. You guys are the professionals. You do this every week. Why would you bring up people's mistakes when everybody makes mistakes? And Chris, we're not talking about everybody's mistakes. We're not talking about everyday mistakes. We're not talking about a typo. We're not talking about not knowing something. These are offensive, egregious mistakes that take up a ton of time. They try to do things with Google AdWords that have nothing to do with AdWords, and they just bring out the worst personality flaws that people have. We see these mistakes all the time. And so, Chris, don't get it twisted here. We're not talking about everyday innocent mistakes. We're talking about horrible things that people try to do with Google AdWords.
Jason, it sounds, you know, you use the word offensive and personality flaws. It sounds like this should really be an episode about what are your personal problems and let's diagnose everyone's personality issues. But I guess we'll stick to AdWords because I guess that's where
my point, Chris, is I don't want people to think these are like getting the wrong match type or trying to do 8 to 5 on your schedule. You actually do 8 to 6 or you accidentally ran overnight. These are things that really bring down the ship. And they make running AdWords for people hard. And so for all the listeners out there, if you see any tendencies in yourself with some of these mistakes, fix them because Google AdWords will not work if you keep these up. And to all the professionals out there, if you see these tendencies in clients or bosses, know that, okay, we're not just dealing with small little mistakes here. You got a major problem if you're dealing with some of these mistakes and you got to figure out how to get the person to see things correctly or if it's a client, you may just not want to work with that client. So, Chris, I ate too much food and specifically too many Thin Mints and too much ice cream.
Thin Mints. That's a lot of Thin Mints.
The other day, I scared a little girl at Lowe's, Chris. It was like 8 o'clock at night. We're walking in Lowe's. I think we were getting some light bulbs or something. Girl Scouts are right there on the street right next to Lowe's. Oh, no. And I walk by her table, and she looks up at me, and I point at her, and I go, "Don't move." And I wanted her to be there when we came back out, outside. Right. But I didn't convey that in the nicest way. I was like, just like, don't move.
Don't move.
And I bought every Thin Mint she had. So, yeah. So anyway, I had too much food to get to 483. But your first topic here, Chris, too much.
Too much.
People are doing too much with their AdWords accounts. Why don't you break down what that means? What are these mistakes when you see too much?
Yeah. So, you know, AdWords is really overwhelming, especially for people who are new, who want to try and bring in the right kind of traffic. The number of options are just way overwhelming. The fact that there isn't a set number of keywords that you can have, or a number of campaigns that you can have, or the number of ads that you can write. Everything's open-ended, and you can just start generating campaigns all night long until you've done so much that you're just overwhelmed with the number of keywords that you've come up with. This is a severe mistake that I see a lot of people make. These are not necessarily new people to AdWords. These are people that are obsessed with never missing a lead. And the problem, Jason, is not because these people are willing to spend $20,000 a month, $50,000 a month, and they need that kind of volume, and they're willing to spend to not miss a lead ever. These are people that are spending $1,000, $600
right,
a month,
right.
And they have hundreds, if not thousands, of keywords. And they think that somehow there's going to be a magical fairyland experience of, I just happen to have that right kind of keyword, and Mr. Smith happens to click on that one special ad that I wrote, and it's going to happen. And it just doesn't work like that. Volume is not the answer. The answer in AdWords is never just throw more money at it, more keywords and more ads.
Right.
It's always about precision. And I think that's one of the biggest mistakes I see, is when faced with too many options and no real restraint, people can't hold back and they just go crazy with their creativity. And it's a big problem because, as we talk about all the time in the podcast, when it comes to opening up that account on Monday morning and looking at it, if you have 60 campaigns and each of those have 20, 30, 40 ad groups and hundreds of keywords in each one of those, and all of them say insignificant budget.
Yeah, limited by budget. And each one got one click that week.
Yeah.
So how are you supposed to optimize that?
You can't, you know? Right. So I think that's the number one for me. I think that's one of the biggest things I see all the time, is just indulgence.
Just too much? A lack of focus.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that is this main problem here, Chris, and you break it down into different groups. Too many ads. All right, well, then if we say the words too many ads to people out there, they're going to be asking, well, are you talking about in each ad group? And then what's the problem with too many? And oh, by the way, how much is too many? So what do you mean by too many ads here, Chris?
Basically, there's only so many tests that you can do on an ad. If you have keyword A, B, and C, and you're running ads, there's only so many tests that you can really compare. You need to have something precise about ad A, B, and C, and test to see how well those work, and then analyze the results. If you have 16 different types of ads, and you only get, let's say, 1,000 clicks a month, that's a lot, but you're going to need to make decisions, and you need to have equal opportunity between each one of those to show and test what the responses are. So the last thing you want to do is split test between 20 different ads, and basically end up getting very small differences in click-through rates. Makes it impossible to make decisions.
And a small amount of clicks per ads. So I think ads is a good place to start for people. That's the easiest thing you can control, because we're not talking about campaigns yet. We're not talking about ad groups or keywords yet. We're talking about ads. You have ads and ad groups. And Chris, if you just have a general rule of no more than 3 ads at a time in an ad group.
Sure. I think that's a good rule.
That's a good place to start, because we can get to your ad group problem, everyone out there, with your skags. But if we just say 3 ads per ad group while you're testing ads, that's a good place to start with the ads. So now, Chris, we move into keywords. Keywords are an ad group, so that's a good place to start with ad groups. It's talking about the keywords that make up those ad groups. Too many keywords. I'll tell you what I have seen, Chris. People come on there with a $1,000 a month budget. Say a moving company, they want to show up on Office Movers, Movers in Dallas. That's all great. That's good stuff. But then they want to get into any time someone could possibly be a lead. Like you're saying, they never want to miss a lead. So then we start running ads on the broad match moving companies. or we start running ads on moving blankets or moving trucks with the thought that, oh, if someone is getting a moving truck, maybe they'll need my moving labor service. Maybe they will. If someone's doing a search for moving blankets, maybe they'll need my company. Maybe they will. But you know what? You only have $1,000, and we got to figure out what to bid, how to get this cost per conversion down. And if you're not narrow in your focus with a small budget, you just can't make any good decisions. So don't try to be everywhere on the funnel. Don't try to be on every possible search that someone could be searching for when they want to hire a company like yours. Think about the funnel that Chris always talks about. Think about people who are ready to buy at that moment and start there with your small budget. Maybe that's only 10 keywords, Chris. Maybe it's only 20 or 30. It's definitely not 60. It's definitely not 150. It's definitely not 500. Now, Chris, speaking of focus and not having too much of things, including keywords, there's a very large AdWords agency out there, Chris. I'm not going to name names.
Okay, please don't.
And I study them and I try to figure out what they're doing right so I can do things right as well. If you were to Google the word AdWords agency, you won't see their ad. You may think you should because they're one of the biggest and you're like, how come you don't want to be there? If you click to their website and then go back to Google and search AdWords agency,
there you go.
They have a nice big ad there in the number one or two position. You know why, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're so limited on their AdWords campaign. They're so focused that they're only, from what I can tell, at least when it comes to AdWords keywords, doing remarketing on search.
Yeah.
And this is a group who knows what the heck they're doing. So if some of these people that make that mistake of having way too many keywords are running their company, they might target phrase match AdWords and be on every AdWords search because potentially someone doing that search could want to hire them. Potentially. But this company only does certain keywords on remarketing on search, Chris. And it just showed me that there is a power of focus here and not having too many keywords and not trying to be everywhere and stretching your budget too thin.
Yeah. Nowadays, when you go to the grocery store, they ask you to be a rewards member because you can save 5% or whatever, you know, save a few cents. And it seems like it makes so much more sense. And this is the reason why so many do it, is they get your information. Then they start sending you more coupons and information once they know that you've been a customer. And this is something that works across many industries. It's obvious that people who have already been a patron to your facility have shown interest in some other way. You didn't pay for them to come, but now they're coming. Now you continue to try and drive their interest and make sure that they are aware of you by showing ads. I mean, it makes perfect sense if you're in an industry that's highly competitive. My goodness, I couldn't think of a more competitive industry than someone who has keywords for AdWords agency, AdWords management company. I mean, this is a big deal. And if someone realizes that it's just an insignificant number of people are going to end up customers for the number of people that are going to click, it's just not worth doing that. And, you know, you see it manifested in many different industries, and groceries are just one of them. So I mean, that's a big deal. I'll wrap this last one up here. One thing I see all the time, this goes into the same thing with too many keywords, is too many campaigns and too many ad groups. I'm going to make this as simple as possible. Do not create additional campaigns unless you meet certain criteria, which is you want to separate budget. You need to manage the budget separately from another set of keywords, which means you need to maintain used cars differently than you need to maintain the budget of new cars. Okay.
Right.
You need to analyze and maintain. You want to spend $80,000 on this one and only $20,000 on this one. You need different campaigns. You want to advertise franchise A in this city and franchise B in this city, different locations. You need a new campaign. These are the reasons you create new campaigns, not because you think widget A is different from widget B, so you need a new campaign. This is not the case. Too many ad groups, too many campaigns, and it does not make a significant difference in the way that you build your campaign. Too much variety makes things more difficult to manage. So I tried to run it down as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
I know one thing that's particularly close to your heart is micromanaging, overmanagement of a campaign, especially if you're the manager and they're trying to push you and they're...
Or just doing it.
Yeah, or just doing
it. Just going in every day. I had one client, I go, what... He's a mover, and we have this agreement. I'm your AdWords manager. You give me money. Let me do the job you're paying me for, and please don't touch things because I'm going to do a better job. And he just keeps doing it. And the other day, I sent him an email. Hey, what were you doing this for? You made this change. We had to change it back. He goes, Jason, I'm sorry. I just couldn't help myself. He admitted it. He said, I know I'm not supposed to. I couldn't help myself, so I did it. So there's a true addiction here, Chris. The more data you have in front of you, the more some people have a natural tendency just to screw with it. And we see people changing ads too often, adjusting bids too often. Chris, this can really screw your performance, because if the whole point of AdWords and getting conversion data is getting data that matters and then figuring out how to optimize it. And if you're not giving yourself a chance to get clean data because you change the bids every day, or because you add new ad copy in every day, or change ad copy before it gets a chance to be statistically significant, you're not doing anything. You're just running in circles. So there's not really a good way to say, like, what's adjusting bids too much, what's adjusting ads too much, because it's going to differ for every business and every client. But I think a good rule of thumb here, Chris, if you're spending under $5,000 a month on your AdWords campaign, you don't need to be in there more than once a week. Is that fair?
If we're talking about someone who's not full-time management of a campaign and doesn't have a ton to do inside of AdWords, there's not a whole bunch of changes happening and they have other jobs. Absolutely. I think that's a logical...
Even an AdWords manager, Chris. I mean, someone spending $4,000 a month, we're going to get in there once a week and do negative keywords, do bids, mm-hmm. put in new keywords, test new ad copy. But if we change the bids on a Monday, we probably shouldn't go back in there on a Tuesday and change bids back. Yes. You know what? I'm saying go in there once a week.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And not more than once a week. Okay. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay.
Bids and ad copy and new keywords.
That kind of stuff. Sure. Absolutely. Once a week. I think because you need time for the results to percolate.
Yep. To get data. Chris, another over-management thing that just grates both you and I, and it really can kill performance, is going too small with location. So why don't you tell us when you've seen that and just how crazy some people are willing to get with their micro-targeting.
Let's go back to our dentist example, Sweetums Dentist. Back at late 2017, we did a podcast on Sweetums Dental. And I think this is a good example of, there's a dentist out there that insists that his customers only drive from three different zip codes. He knows this because he can look in his customer list and see all of their mailing zip codes. And so he says, I only want to advertise to three zip codes. And then he looks at his report and says, why can't we spend the money? Or the opposite scenario, why is it a bunch of junk traffic? Okay, so I'll answer both of those. The reason you can't spend the money is because you're micromanaging your geographic location. You're too small. You're too finite on what you're trying to do. Other cases, you're getting a bunch of junk traffic because the manager is unable to spend the money, so he has broad keywords out there and he's opened up the funnel. He's just going nuts. He's trying to get some volume out of it, but it's too small of a geographic location. So you're going to have one of those two scenarios. The fact is, you need variety because those three zip codes that you're advertising in, people travel outside those zip codes. They have jobs outside those zip codes. They have many trips to a restaurant, to a grocery store, that they could be doing searches for local dentist in my area. You cannot assume that people stay within one zip code their entire time that they're doing searches.
Right.
You can't second guess the way that people are going to do those searches. They will surprise you every time. So micromanaging how someone's going to search, when they search, and where they're going to be is absolute overmanagement of expectations of your campaign.
Yeah, and you can get great location targeting without just limiting yourself to the point where you're not getting any traffic. You don't have to go crazy big, Chris, but you can do a 5-mile radius, a 7-mile radius around your part of town. Then after a month, you can look at your zip code data in your AdWords account and see, will I get enough budget just to spend on these three zip codes? If you are, then yeah, at that point, you've proven it and you can go down. You can also increase the bids in those zip codes, decrease bids in other ones, and try to get more traffic from there. But we just see a real problem, Chris, with people, because of the availability of targeting options in AdWords and because of the control you can have with it, people really kind of abuse that at the location level. And they try to go way, 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 way too small. A good example, Chris, I had someone, not a mover, believe it or not, B2O, business to organization. It is business to business in a sense, because it was someone selling a software to schools. And this person wanted to target 1-mile radiuses around every school across the country that would be a good fit for him.
Wow. 1-mile radius.
Yeah, I can see you getting red. I can see you getting angry. I'm not telling you to do that, Chris. I'm just giving you an example. Calm down. You're like a bull seeing red right now. You're like,
There's so many problems with that. There's so many
issues. Yeah, it was ridiculous. Took forever to build. And then we hit go and
nothing.
We didn't get any traffic.
Nothing.
Yeah. We're targeting tons of different schools. Nothing happened. The reason why is because when people are at school, They're working. People who run school districts, who buy software for schools, they don't necessarily work at those schools. So it was a bad strategy.
Can I just slip this in here real quick? Let me explain something really quick. Whenever you have a radius, you are not targeting individual households. What you're targeting is an ISP's address. You pay for an ISP to get access to the internet. That ISP has a location assigned with it. When you draw a radius, when you pick a zip code, you aren't necessarily picking where all of the search is going to come from. Sometimes some of those zip codes are based on the IP location. I get ads from a different city that I actually live in, but that's because my ISP registers me in a different zip code than I'm actually living in.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Forget this stuff. It's ridiculous. Okay, that's my rant.
You know, Chris, you're not just all looks, you know? Every now and then you remind us that you're here for something beyond your good looks.
Yeah, right.
I mean, the things that you know about Google AdWords sometimes are just really impressive. Like the smallest details just about how things work and how everything comes together. I'm very impressed with you. But yeah, I wish you would have been there to coach a young Jason back in the day when I built out that campaign.
I feel sorry that you built that out.
Micro locations from the start are a bad idea. You can always go smaller and look at your data and see where you're getting traffic. You can always go smaller. So Chris, beyond overmanaging, another egregious mistake we see people make, they look at the wrong metrics. And like you said at the top of the show, the crazy thing about Google AdWords is there's so much data. There's so many columns you can look at and try to judge success on. So I've got things that I see people look at wrongly all the time, and I'm going to get to them. But I want you to talk about click-through rate first, because before you bash click-through rate, let me just try to impress you and give you a reason why your clients might be doing that, the focusing on click-through rate. Quality score, Chris. Google has hundreds of metrics that go into your quality score and make up that number. But one of the biggest ones people think it is, and especially back in the day, is click-through rate. Google likes when people click on ads. Google gets money. It shows Google that people are seeing relevant ads that they're interested in. So I think people really do like click-through rate, Chris. But what is your beef with it? How are people abusing looking at click-through rate?
My concern with click-through rate is that it's a measurement of success. You somehow gauge that January was not as good as February because your click-through rate went down. I'm going to give you one example of why click-through rate might go down, but you actually had a better month. Let's say January, you had 16 keywords and you had a 5% click-through rate. At the end of January, you thought of a new keyword, an exact match keyword that has a lot of traffic on it and it's perfect, but you can't afford to show up in first position for that keyword, but it's a perfect keyword for your service that you're providing. You add that keyword, you start getting tons and tons more impressions, but your impressions are second, third, fourth position. Immediately on the second month, now you're into February, you now have a lower click-through rate, but the quality of traffic, let's say, is better because you've driven so much traffic from that exact match keyword that fits perfectly. I mean, it's just a great keyword. You're getting lots of leads from it, but your click-through rate dropped. That is not a measurement of success because it does not indicate that people are clicking less. It just means that you had more impressions and less clicks on a percentage scale, not that people are clicking less or they're less interested in your ads. That's not the case. So click-through rate is merely a reference of percentage of clicks based on impressions, not how well your ad copy is doing.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you have another beef with people looking at cost per click each month and thinking that's your gauge of success. And it's the same thing. Okay, if you're targeting that better, higher quality keyword that's bringing more leads, but it has a higher cost per click because it's a better keyword that's bringing more leads, your account did not get worse just because your click-through rate went up. And I think the overall point here about wrong metrics, Chris, and I'll throw in position to this as well. I get questions all the time, like, I want to be position one. They focus on that as a metric of success. But whether it's click-through rate, whether it's cost per click, whether it's position, those are all secondary metrics to the granddaddies of them all, how many conversions you're getting and what is your cost per conversion.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're doing here. We're trying to get people to call into your business, to fill out a lead form, to become new customers or clients, and to give you money. That's the point. And so you and I, Chris, we're so logical. We're so focused on cost per conversion and amount of conversions. I feel stupid even talking about click-through rate and cost per click and position. Like, I feel stupid alerting people that this is a problem. Like, it doesn't sound like it should be a problem. Like, it's so black and white that you need to be focused on cost per conversion and conversions overall. But as stupid as that sounds to raise the warning about this, you and I see this all the time. Hey, why is my click-through rate low? Hey, my cost per click went up. Hey, I don't see myself in position one. We hear that all the time. Other than people are stupid, Chris, I don't understand why there's a lack of focus on cost per conversion and amount of conversions.
I think it goes back to
choices.
To number one, I think it's overwhelming. Yeah. I think there's so much, and you want to have the best campaign, and you're presented with so much data that it's overwhelming. If I don't see green up arrows on every percentage when I look at my report, I get concerned. You know, my conversion rate goes up 15%, but my click-through rate went down 25%. Something's wrong. I don't like that red arrow in my report. So
right.
I think variety, and this is, you know, something everybody's guilty of, because I'm guilty of sending out reports with tons and tons of data, and it's overwhelming. So you kind of, you start wondering, what does this mean? Is this good? Is this bad? You know, sometimes it doesn't really mean anything. It's just numbers that changed. Moving on. So just to recap here, too much, too many ads, too many keywords. That's number one. Number two, overmanaging. That's changing ads too often, adjusting bids too often, micromanaging locations. Wrong metrics is number three, focusing on the wrong things to measure the success of your campaign, like click-through rate, your position average, and your cost per click. Finally, number four, this is something that I know personally, just to be transparent, this has lost me more clients than probably anything else. And it usually happens within the first 30 to 60 days. I'll tell you, I had a client once that quit after, I think, 2 days. Once. He fired me after 2 days because he had really bad expectations.
And we're not talking years ago.
No, we're talking very recent. Definitely since the podcast has been going. I mean, that was my record for fastest time to be fired. So wrong expectations is, I think, a chronic issue. And I know you've dealt with it before. What's one example that you see from your clients or people you talk to that manifests in a way of having wrong expectations, and how does that look?
Week one, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Week one and week two, the ramp up. I've talked about this on Twitter. People connected with it. The ramp up is real. I had to trademark that quote.
Yeah.
But people give me credit for it anyway, because it is mine. The ramp up is real. You call into Google, you talk to some of their employees. I learned about it from some of their employees.
But I remember at the same time, we talked about it on an episode once, maybe like 40 episodes ago or something like that.
Yeah, I learned about it from them. But at the same time, Chris, some of them who know a lot about Google AdWords don't even know about this. So this is something that a massive amount of our audience doesn't know about. It's called the ramp up. I call it the ramp up is real. You can turn on a brand new Google AdWords campaign or account. You can look at your preview tool. You'll see your ads there. You can hover over your keyword status. It'll say you're showing your ads. And you will not get the traffic that you expect.
Yeah.
Your click-through rate will be lower than you expect. Your impressions will be lower than you expect. Chris, Tuesday of this week, 2 days ago, I launched a campaign for a client. We're targeting Spanish keywords. My girlfriend speaks Spanish. Things are great between us.
Yeah, we need to get an update on that, but go ahead.
An update, honestly, if she's listening, I've been attacked twice this week, Chris. Twice. She comes home from work.
Uh-oh.
I didn't do anything wrong. And she's picking fights with me, Chris.
Oh,
and she's stressed about something. It's not me, because I'm a perfect boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But she's taking it out on me, Chris. And today's day three, and we're going to try to break this streak, because it's not healthy. Mm-hmm. I want to get on here and tell you everything's great. But this week, it's been a little tough. But we're 5 years in, and we're not going to let a little two-day streak break us.
It's called the crazy cycle, and you'll jump on it and you'll jump off. But that's good of you to recognize it.
But I got to keep my cool. Someone's got to keep their cool, right, Chris? And it's got to be me.
Because you sound like you got your cool.
So anyway, she speaks Spanish, so I know some Spanish. And
what were we talking about?
I know what keywords to target.
Okay, gotcha.
And this is in a Hispanic-dominant market. There's a lot of people who speak Spanish in the city. And you know what we got, Chris, over 2 days? We got zero impressions.
Zero
impression,
not just clicks.
Not just clicks. Zero impressions,
wow.
Bro.
Nice.
And this is not a keyword or an industry where you would get zero impressions.
Yeah.
So the client keeps blowing up my phone. What the heck is going on? What do I tell my clients, Jason? Because we got zero impressions, bro. And we can't have it. They're getting antsy. They're going to fire us. And you know what I said? I said, I don't care. I just can't care at this point, because it's got nothing to do with us. It's called the ramp up. It's called you gave your clients the wrong expectations. There is nothing that surprises me during the first 2 weeks of an AdWords campaign.
Yeah.
Now, it was a little surprising that we didn't get one impression over 48 hours, but I am not surprised.
Yeah.
And there was not a problem. Oh, and by the way, day three, we got a couple clicks, and it's going to keep going up. There's just something about having zero quality score history, Chris. Zero. The system doesn't know what to do. It feels like a light switch. You turn on your campaign, but it's really starting up an old car during winter. It takes a few minutes to warm up, takes a few weeks to warm up. My biggest wrong expectation is looking at the first 2 weeks' results and thinking that's the way it's going to be forever, because it's not. There is a ramp up. You have to convey that to yourself. You have to convey that to your clients.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, absolutely agree. I want to give one final story about what you refer to as...
Two-week chumps.
I love that.
They are... The biggest losers in life, Chris, people who, why don't you describe these absolute losers?
I'll paint a picture of a two-week chump for you, and let me know if I hit it on the nose. This guy talks to you on the phone, and he has the best service slash product, and there is no problem with his product. His website, he has spent so much time. His wife is so proud of him. He loves the colors. He's done research. He knows his people. And he has the best web developer, and he has a lead system that works, and his salespeople are right on point. And if there's a problem in 2 weeks, the heck, it's something that he's doing with his website or his sales process. It's because your AdWords campaign sucks. Did I paint that about right?
About right. About right. And then what's the final move he does, Chris? Oh. What makes him a chump?
Yeah, he's gone.
He gives up.
He shuts it off. He doesn't even care that he has another 2 weeks that he's paid for management. He's going to shut it off and fire you and say, keep your money. I'm done. I'm never giving AdWords another chance. That's a two-week chump.
It's a two-week chump. AdWords, that's one of the biggest wrong expectations we see. And that's why this is a serious mistake. It's not just a little thing someone does in an account. It's a serious mistake that kills your chances of success on AdWords. Having the wrong expectation about timelines, Chris. Now, yes, we want things to work in the first 2 weeks. We want things to work in the first month, the first 3 months. And most 90% of the time, Chris, give us 3 months, we're going to get you there. Mm-hmm. But Chris, at the same time, AdWords should not be looked at as a 90-day experiment. It should be looked at as a part of your marketing strategy. And you say this better than anybody, for years. And even if you don't get one lead for years, which of course never happens, you're going to get leads. But why don't you just talk about the value of spending $300 a month on AdWords, regardless of leads, for 10 years in a row? What happens to your account, Chris? How much data do you get?
Oh gosh, I mean, the amount of, some of the most exciting things I see is a client that comes to me and said, we've been running AdWords for 8 years and we don't really know if it's working well or not. And I'm always so excited because all of the worry and guesswork that I have with a campaign and trying to figure out the right keywords and stuff, all of it is already there. It's already there. I have thousands of search terms to look through and analyze. I have, hopefully I have some conversion metrics, but if not, I can at least look at, you know, click-through rates and how people responded to ads and what the CPCs of their keywords were. This is basically information I don't have to guess on. And you pay for information. If you're not paying for leads, if you have crap AdWords, you're at least paying for data.
Business intelligence.
Yeah, business intelligence. Absolutely. You're paying for great information. And, you know, for that reason, you can make some good decisions. If you screw up and do 3 months of trash in AdWords, you at least know what trash doesn't work for you and which ones might. You have data to back it up. It doesn't get wiped off. You know, it's always going to be there.
Great example, Chris. Say you're a mover and you tried AdWords for 2 weeks and you give up. You're a chump. But say you stick it out and you go for 6 months. Even if you don't have a great campaign and you're not happy with your search terms, you'll see things like those search terms come through that say moving company blankets in Austin. And then that can give you data to make good decisions with your business. Like, oh, we don't sell moving blankets. Maybe we should. Maybe we should have a page for SEO purposes on our website about moving blankets. And so just because maybe you didn't get leads during the first 3 months, if you're not running it correctly, you're going to get data. It's incredible data. And giving up after 2 weeks or the short run and not looking at it as a permanent, maybe it's small, but a permanent part of your business. If you're not looking at it that way, a never-ending game, a never-ending cycle, you're looking at it the wrong way. And the biggest egregious example of that, Chris, is a two-week chump.
I think that's it. Jason, I think that lays out some of our worst fears in AdWords and some of the worst mistakes that we see. And when people
that can kill it, that just kill it.
Yeah, when people hold to these beliefs it will kill your AdWords campaign. And you won't be able to recover because these are the beliefs that you hold to, and you'll continue to manage your campaign based on those things. So, Jason, I'm going to end the podcast with a quick story, and then we're going to go. But anybody who's watching the YouTube channel, you notice that my eye is very red. I'm going to just say we were traveling. My wife and I were traveling. Don't ever listen. When your wife has contacts, I wear contacts. My wife wears contacts. She has a different process in the way that she puts her contacts in. She has this little thing, and you know, like kind of AOSEP type of stuff. And what I didn't know is that there's this little tab that she puts in as well. And it somehow neutralizes the acidic quality of this cleaner that she puts her contacts in. And she told me at night, she said, "Hey, you forgot your saline. Why don't you just use my stuff and drop your contacts in, and then just put your contacts in the morning. You'll be good. After 6 hours, it neutralizes and you can put it back in your eye. It doesn't hurt at all." So that next morning, I took basically pure acid. That's what it was. I mean, just acidic. I mean, I had a little thing and I just poured it onto my hand. I put the contact in, you know, you make the taco, you know, anybody who wears contacts, you know, you check the thing. Yeah, I go to put it in my eye. I pop it in. My one-year-old's sitting right here next to me on the counter, and then my six-year-old's in the other room. I let out the most guttural scream. I mean, if you've ever put, you know, a bad contact in your eye.
Wow.
And I just go, and I just start screaming. Because the worst thing about putting something painful in your eye is you then have to open your eye. Because if your eye hurts, you close it. You want to cover it. You want to close it. You have to open your eye and then reach into your eye and pull it back out. And I'm talking like I'm spitting all over the place. Like I'm drooling. I'm just like, it hurts so bad. And I got it out. It was one of the worst experiences I think I've had. Most painful experience I think I've had in a long time.
Are you seeing okay?
I can see fine. It just burned. It didn't hurt my eye. It just burned like I'd never experienced. And so that's it. I'll leave you guys with that. Always use saline for your contacts. Use neutral solutions for your eyes, and you'll thank me for it. PaidSearchPodcast.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We'll catch you guys next week.